Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christine, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Severance Season 1, Episode 6, Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek?
That was because... my really, really, really half-assed
Hide and Seek.
It wasn't initially supposed to be, but then I hesitated on a word and was like, you know what, I might as well
call it. Yes, we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this show. Obviously, you should be watching Severance. It is not difficult to watch. It's on Apple TV Plus. It is worth watching. Dystopian, creepy, office, corporate, hell, all the things.
If you don't have enough of that in your regular life already.
Or you just want to, like, you know, get it out of your system in some cathartic way. This is a way to do it. Absolutely. So we are also having something to drink. And what are we having?
Aperol spritzes.
Yum! Has nothing to do with this episode.
Absolutely nothing.
It's like cheerful and happy and sunny, which has nothing to do with this episode. But you know, that's what we're having. So it's what we had, and it is actually cheerful and sunny here. And so far, the World Cup's going our way. So happy.
Just imagine, like, by the time this comes out, it's not.
Yeah, well, that's true. Oh, it might not be. Ooh, scary. Anyway, I actually want to do this first introductory part because I just... So supervisorly, right at the beginning of this episode... is being psycho with crystals and dolls, okay? There's something, like, seriously wrong with her.
Her room looks like a psych ward.
It does. It looks like, you know, it's like cinder block, painted gray, like this really sad twin bed, and she's got dolls on it, and has a shrine to Kier at which she prays with creepy language. Like I said, the lines between the corporate world, the business world, and the religious are quite blurred with this, and it's highly disturbing. And it's got, you know, kind of communist overtones to me. It's very creepy. But yeah, she she's traced the chip reintegration to a person called Rogabi or something like that.
No, it's someone, and it's someone who used to work at Lumen.
Yeah. And so she gets information about that, and she's like, we also see that Mark checks the phone that had been PD's, and they're all blocked calls, but they're calls that keep coming in, even though, you know, it's been highly publicized that PD's dead. Mark throws the SIM card to the phone in the trash on his way to work. And he gets to work. But while he's on his way to work, we get to see Irving and Bert. You want to talk about Irving and Bert in the greenhouse?
Yeah. So Bert, I guess, just randomly found this. It's hardly a greenhouse. I'd call it a green space where there's a lot of plants. It's not
plants.
There's no glass anywhere, so there's no greenhouse effect. But it is a green space for them to just kind of wander around. And Irv is all shy and bashful and is really cute. And they're talking about how Irv mostly is concerned that it's in the handbook that you can't have a romantic relationship with a coworker, especially interdepartmental.
Why it would make a difference? Like
I don't think it's. I think it's frowned upon, regardless if it was inter or intra. But I think that especially inter is something they're really trying to, like, not have them do.
Right, because they don't, they really want to keep everything separated, and this whole categorization and sorting, and, you know, I think all of us kind of like this concept as a cultural thing, like, oh, you know, my zodiac is whatever, or my MTBI or whatever it is, you know, is something we all kind of like. To see these definitions, like, to see, do I actually fit the mold of whatever it is? But no one wants to actually be in the mold. You know what I
No,
mean?
that'd be boring.
And that's why this separation and like sorting that they have is really kind of messed up.
Either way, they almost kiss, but Irv chickens out at the last second. And he's like, "No, we can't. I'm sorry, I'm not there yet." And Christopher, sorry,
Bert.
Bert is like, "Well, just then stay here."
Stay here, and they have forehead to forehead contact, and that
So cute.
it is cute.
So meanwhile, Mark's sister, Devin, I forgot that's her name.
Oh no, yeah, I didn't even catch
Devin
it.
and Rickon.
Rickon, like, please serpentine away from us, Rickon. Oh,
If you
I'm
don't get
sorry.
that reference, I'm sorry.
It's all the Game of Thrones, sorry.
Mark's sister Devin is taking care of her baby, and they're on a little walk, and she runs into that wife, the pregnant wife, who's not pregnant anymore. Obviously, she gave birth
The
from the
rich woman.
retreat.
Yeah, the rich woman.
Yes. And so she goes up to her and is like, "Oh yeah, from the retreat. Hi." And she clearly does not remember her
The
at
rich
all.
woman does not. And there's also like she had told the rich woman had told the sister, hey, we're gonna be naming my child William and he's a boy and blah blah blah. And so the sister brings this up and she's like, oh, he looks like a William. She's like, we didn't name him William. We named him whatever they named him. And her husband, who we always suspected there's something weird going on there, he's very, very controlling in this scene. And he comes up and he's like, oh, you must step away from this like lesser person.
Well, no, it's the vibe he gives off. It's not the words he says.
Correct.
But we can read between the lines, and he's clearly like, "Stay away from my
Yeah.
wife." And so Mark's sister Devin is really weirded out by this, which, fair.
Yes.
But either way, Mark is still remarks Innie is still reading his self-help book.
Yeah, I do want to back up one small thing about the babies in this. Like, we find out as the episode proceeds that it's supposed to be like a week or two after they gave birth to these babies. The baby that the sister is carrying is like 6 months old. So
Yeah,
he's kind of like,
that's an old
this
baby.
is
But to be fair, I wouldn't
no.
really want it any other way for a TV show.
Perhaps, you could fake it a little bit better. I don't know.
Whatever.
Go ahead.
Mark is still reading Rickon's self-help book.
It is dreadful and stupid. He's talking about the origin of the word camaraderie and gets it wrong. It's sad.
The office talk about going on another mental health walk to help map out the office a
Severance
little bit
floor.
better.
Yeah, the severance floor. And so what they do when they decide to do this is Mark kind of gets upset and he has them go back to work. So,
No.
well, so, but they also talk about Miss Casey in this, and they find out that Miss Casey has had to go into the break room. Sorry, how this happens, like they go to go on this walkabout and they get caught.
They don't even make it out of the room that they're in having
Yeah.
coffee.
I
So what happens
missed
is
that
there,
part.
you
I was
clearly
looking.
did because you like
Right.
skipped ahead a lot.
I'm because it was boring. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So they were talking, and then Holly's just like, "Oh yeah, well, I'm going to make sure that we're going to go on that mental health walk." And Milchick comes into the break room, or not the break room, but the kitchen, and is like, "What are you guys talking about?" And they cover it by saying, Miss Casey. And Mark's like, "Where is she anyway?" And Milchick's like, "Oh, she's in the break room."
Right.
And Mark gets kind of upset about, like, "Hey, that wasn't on her. That was on me and Helly."
Yeah, I took Helly on a walk and she needed a walk. It's not Miss Casey's fault. She shouldn't be taking to the break room. Why don't you take me to the break room? Because it's my fault.
So he goes to Miss Cobell, and it's
And Miss Cobell is pissed. She's like, how, who else would you go to the break room for? You're going to go to the break room for basically everybody. It's not your job to like babysit these people. And I was like, well, it's not. What is my job? And she's like, you want to know? Like she, and she just starts yelling at him and yelling at him about Kier. And he's like, well, what is it that we really do? And she says, we serve Kier, and you got to serve Kier. And there's a bunch of yelling, and he yells back at her. But he's taken back to MDR.
He revokes hallway privileges.
Right. She revokes hallway privileges. And Mark goes back to MDR, and he has to break it to them. He's pissed about the whole thing. So he yells at them too about, and now we can't even go in the hallway anymore. And everybody's like, it's my fault. And Mark doesn't really even correct him, even though he knows full well that it's not just his fault. In the meeting that he had with supervisor is she showed some video of Mark and Helly in one of the other departments. And she's clearly, that's part of why she's upset and why she revokes the privileges. But Mark doesn't even take real responsibility for that when he comes back and talks to everybody.
Meanwhile, he comes back. They get all hot and bothered, and he is like, "No more interdepartmental visits." And then they, for whatever reason, just go, "Well, do you want to go to OND?" And so they all go to OND, and Mark has this rousing speech about like, "Well, Lumen is meant to, like, their whole thing is illuminating things that are not seen." And why aren't they doing that? Why are they doing that for everybody but us? Why aren't we allowed to know what we're going to do? Why can't we have full transparency in what we are doing down here and why we aren't allowed to talk to everybody and what our work actually is doing up in the real world? And it makes a lot of people think, but then Milchick comes in and is just like, okay, stop.
Back to work. So they go back to MDR, and the supervisor lady is there, and she sings really loudly. She's got a good voice. This Kier him in this menacing way, like she's Kier's the greatest. We're doing all the great things. Blah blah blah.
Also, Dylan took a card from OND. Not like anything interesting. It's literally just a diagram, but it's
A
still a
little dot.
card.
Yeah, it's a little laminated card. Mark and Miss Casey pass each other as Mark has to go to the break room, and she's leaving the break room, and he apologizes to Miss Casey. They're both clearly sad, and I thought they were going to look at each other, but they really didn't. After they passed each other, I thought they'd look back at each other, but that didn't happen. We see that Mark's outie is having a date with the doula,
Her name's Alexa.
Alexa, and.
I learned everyone's names in this episode for some reason.
Yeah, and Mark has bruises on his knuckles. So clearly, this is after his time in the break room.
Which
And
is so bizarre to me. It's like, why? Like, it's
it's
not
almost
like
like he was beaten with a
that's
ruler.
what I was thinking, but I
Yeah.
was just like, we didn't see that with Hallie R, but maybe that's because she was being treated with kid gloves. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, Mark's got bruises on his knuckles. She asks about them. And he's like, oh, I guess I beat up a water cooler or something. That's what they tell me. Mark is not really drinking, at least at first on this date. He talks a little bit about his wife. And while this is happening, we see intercut with this. Mark's sister is Googling the controlling husband of the woman from the retreat. And she sees that he is a pro-severance senator. Around this time, and I probably skipped something because I might have gotten bored. Supervisor lady shows up at the sister's house as a lactation consultant.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And she, what supervisor lady says, oh, yes, Mark suggested me. And it's like, Mark did? I mean, I thought that the, because what we're hearing on the date is the doula like was saying something about getting a lactation consultant, but whatever. She is super creepy with the baby. She's actually humming to it the same hymn that she had been singing to the innies. And because the baby's crying when she shows up. We see also some of Dylan's own life. Do you want to talk about this?
Sure, because you
No,
didn't make notes.
I actually was very make I was paying attention to this, so if you want me to. So what we
You
see
can if
is
you want to.
Dylan is in his closet, but he is like entered his severed mental state. And Milchick is telling Dylan, look, I'm contacting you. I realize, and Dylan's looking around like, is this my house? Do I live here? And Milchick's like, this is an emergency. I, had to contact you off book or after hours, but I need that card you took from OMD. And because the way this whole sequence starts, there is a child sitting in front of television counting to 1,000 and something. And Dylan tells Milchick, where the card is. The child comes into the closet. And Dylan's like, is that my child? Is that my kid? And he say the child says something to him.
He says, Daddy.
He says, Daddy. And Milchick is there in the closet with them, like physically in the closet. And he's like, he was supposed to count to 1,000. He's very menacing and angry about it. Like pushing the kid out, but the child hugs Dylan, and then it looks like Milchick kind of lets his brain go. But he's very threatening to the child, and it's very threatening to Dylan, like that they have access to him when he's out, like when he's not severed. So
Mark
Mark,
and Alexa are he
they see
sees,
June's band poster.
and so he's like, let's go to this, even though it's not their scene at all.
If you've
And
forgotten, June is Petey's daughter.
yes, and so they go, it's a song, they play an emo punk song about hating women, and Mark and Alexa sing along, which is nice. He checks in on June as they're leaving and is just like, hey, how are you doing? I'm really sorry about everything. And she accepts that, and it's a good moment.
It's a good moment. She's still like got her guard up.
I don't blame
I don't.
her. And so as they're leaving, Alexa kisses Mark, and they go
End
back.
up spending the night.
Yeah, they go back to his place. Then in the middle of the night, he's just like, huh, I kind of want to
Check the
investigate the
crime.
Petey thing again. It's at the
This is
beginning of this
before or
episode.
after somebody shows up at Supra's Willie's
Oh,
apartment.
that doesn't matter.
It does matter, but go ahead.
Well, whatever, fine. Doug, the security guy, again, learning everyone's names now. Doug shows up at Cobell's house and is like, hey, we found the person that we were looking for. We know where she is. I'm going to go investigate. And then she's just like, this couldn't have been an email. And she.
What she's he asks, like, you want to come with me and deal with this lady? And she's like, no.
And
But
so
he
he's like,
also makes
well.
fun of her clothes, like, what kind of research were you doing? And are you dressed up like a nurse? What's up with you?
Either way, in case we forgot, he threw Petey's phone away in his neighbor's trash can, marked it, and Mark is having regrets, and so he goes back and he puts together the phone again, and immediately the blocked number calls, luckily, and he answers the phone, and the woman figures out who he is and is just like, hey, you want to come meet me? You want to come meet me now in the middle of the night? And then he's just like, yes. And so he goes, and he meets her at his old the school where he used to teach, and she's all mysterious, and they're going to have a conversation, and that's where the episode ends.
Right. So the thing about the security guy, and we left a little bit of this out in the conversation that he has with the supervisor, he says two other things. That the person that they're looking for is in an abandoned lab at that school, which clearly is like where Mark ends up. So she's probably the same person. And he also says maintenance is installing something. It's obscure that. About what Nathan is supposed to be doing on the severance floor at MDR. And we see some of them installing something.
It's doors. We don't
It's
really need to
doors,
sugarcoat it.
but
It's
yeah,
doors.
it's doors, but they try to make it all mysterious and stuff. But that's really the episode. So, what were your best parts?
Herb and Bert, they're cute. Mark questioning things. I like his speech. And Alexa, the doula, I think she's very understanding about Mark's position as a widower. And when he talks about his wife, she doesn't get all weirded out by it. I like that she encourages the conversation. Because it's not like he's talking about, oh, she was the best, I loved her, blah, 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 and I still love her. It's just him talking about a person he's grieving, and she listens intently. is nice.
I like Mark generally in this episode. I like Mark and the doula. I think the two of them are cute together in this episode. I like Mark's sister in this episode. I like that she's like questioning what the hell is going on with this woman. This is really strange. I like Dylan particularly in this episode.
Oh, I
I'm
love
just I think
Dylan.
Dylan's great in this. I love her bringing Bert. So yeah.
I will say I did not include Mark's sister because if maybe it's just the way I think, but I don't think I leave that much of a lasting impression on people. And so what if I were to have that same situation of like I got coffee from somebody very briefly once and they didn't seem to recognize me. I would not push the issue. I would just be like, you
Either
know
no.
what?
Yeah, I wouldn't have
Crazy
either.
man.
I wouldn't have either. I mean, clearly
I would
she
look
got.
up the whatever. I would look up maybe her family just because I maybe recognize the name. Like, sure, that's fine. That's pretty normal. But like her really that bothering her so much, I'm just like, okay.
Well, okay. And again, that's a parallel to like how anxious, insecure, whatever her husband is. So I think that
Yeah,
that might be
that's
one
how
of
they
the theories
bond, I
why they
guess.
bond. But I felt like the reason she was looking at this guy had more to do with his behavior toward his wife.
Sure, I agree with that.
Like I don't think she should have put much stock in the fact that this woman didn't really recognize her or anything
But
else.
she
But
seems to, and especially in the next episode, she brings it up again. It's like, okay.
there are things about this woman's behavior that are weird. Like she doesn't even seem to acknowledge that the fact that the child's not named William means something. Like the fact, like she appears to have no memory, not just of the conversation, but also of something that like would have been was important to her at the time. Like, oh, we're naming him William after my family member of some kind. So that particularly would stand out to me. Like, did she forget she wanted to name this child William? I mean, like, what? Because there's no excuse or explanation
Out this
made.
is why I'd be a bad detective because the weird things like that of like okay well yeah that is a weird thing when you think about it like that but I'm one of those people who when somebody forgets like a small detail that I remember I feel like I have a pretty good memory and so I don't blame them for not remembering like
I wouldn't blame them for not remembering me. I don't think I made
but
any
I do agree the whole
mistakes
William thing
either.
is the weird part of
Yeah, that's
that.
the weird part to me. And that and how the husband behaves. So those two
Yeah.
things I might want to inquire further.
So my worst parts were Cobell, Milchick, and the controlling husband.
Yeah, I've got supervisor in all caps. She's gonna be up every time, but also creepy cure shit. So like it's her in combination with like the shrine and the praying and the hymn and all of that stuff. It makes it that much more controlling, imposing, scary. And Milchick, of course. I think, Milchick showing up in Dylan's house and being creepy with his child. Oh my God, that is scary as all get out. What grade did you give this episode?
B plus.
I did too. I thought this was a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I think so too. It's moving stuff forward, and what I like about it especially is that we're seeing a change in Mark, in is particularly in Mark's innie. We've been seeing Mark's innie kind of just coast by and kind of just be doing what he's doing and mostly worrying about Helly. But now I think he's worrying about everybody and worrying about himself and he's starting to question the authority.
Yeah.
Not that he wasn't already kind of questioning it, but he now has this whole rousing speech and he is def actively defying rules like knowingly and not just to like help others. It's more to discover more things. And I think that that's a really important step to having more interesting stuff go down on the severed floor for us. Not that all the stuff with Hallie and Irv and all that stuff, that not that that's not interesting, but seeing that, seeing Dylan have that snap out
Right,
and
right. So I think that the menace is expanding, and I think that the fact that it's going into the outie world, and that Mark is realizing how much of a problem it might be, is very It's the reason we watch the show, right? Like, how is he going to cope with this? Is he going to really challenge things? And in challenging that, what's going to happen? Because clearly, this is a very pervasive corporate universe, so corporate slash religious universe. So it's an interesting question.
Yeah.
All right, so we have more to come. It's getting more and more interesting. And I happen to really love the title of the next episode, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
So we are looking forward to sharing with you the next episode about Severance. We hope that you join us. And
cheers. Cheers.